Well, take your Bible tonight, please. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Isaiah 41, verse 10 through 14. Isaiah 41, 10 through 14. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I am thy God, will hold thy I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I am with thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. The word worms, many times that's kind of confusing. You call a guy a worm. I remember when I was at Pillsbury, we called this one guy worm. Worm just means soul. That's your soul. Your soul, the worm. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, and the Holy One of Israel. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now, Lord God. We thank you for helping us through these days that are fearful, helping us through these days in our lives that we've never been down this road before. We've never been this way. We've never gone that way. We have no idea what fork to take. And Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would watch over and care for us. You'd cover us. And Lord, you promise us here that you'll look after us and you'll help us to trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that gives us many fear nots in the Bible. So Lord, I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My text verse tonight is in verse 13 of Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. There's a story told years ago in a man in England was awaiting operation for appendicitis. And back in those days, they had a very, very serious major surgery. Today, they just do a laparoscopic, go in there and whack it out and bring it out. And just an amazing thing what they can do. But years ago, very, very dangerous. And though this man was a Christian man, his thoughts of this ordeal awaiting him, naturally, he shrunk in fear when troubled in soul. He was just beside himself. And this, of course, was quite understanding. He had heard of many people that never did make it through that surgery. And, of course, being a man who wants to serve God and wants to take care of his family, take care of his wife, and take care of his children, and take care of his the property that God has given him, he was fearful. He was made ready for the operation. As he was about to be carried into the operating room, the nurse, observing his timidity and fear, said, when you are put on the operating table, look at the wall, and you will find a message from God for you. On the four walls of the operating room, someone had beautifully calligraphied the Word of God. And he found one. And it said, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Praise God, he said to the nurse. That was just the words I wanted. And he relaxed and was comforted by those words in the Word of God. The fear nots of the Bible are many and varied and form wonderful stories. Before he speaks, he gasps. His first gasp, that outreached hand, and then he speaks the assuring word. He does not only sit upon the throne in the heavens dictating and forwarding message to comfort our soul, but he comes at the call of dire need right to us and grants direct and personal contact. No distant God have we, who loves afar to be. Made of flesh for me, he cannot rest until he rests in me. There's a lot of things that go on in our lives, a lot of things that we just don't know what to do. A lot of things happen to us, and we look like a deer looking in the headlights of a car, you know, sometimes. We don't know which way to turn. So what does his grasp mean to me? I think there are seven things of the Word of God. I know that you can probably find more, but I think there are seven things of the Word of God that we can find that helps us through. Number one, we have no fear when it comes to salvation. One of the blessings this morning, and they weren't prompted this morning. Every person you ask, all six of them, you ask, have you trusted Christ as Savior? Yes. If you died today, where'd you go? Heaven. Did you hear the littlest one? Little Trinity. Heaven. What a blessing to my heart and my soul when I heard her say that this morning. After I have made a call on a family, when I turned the corner, I said out loud, well, praise the Lord, there is a heaven. A lot of times, you know, that when families pass, and when I hear of people that have passed away, I'll write to them and I'll say, thank God for heaven. Boy, I don't know about you, but the first thing that I can think of is a fear that Lord Jesus takes away from us. Is we have no fear when we come to salvation. We're saved. We're saved eternally. Once we've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, our name is written down in the Book of Life. It's written in indelible ink. I was preaching down in Dominican Republic, and Brother Hernandez was translating for me, and what a fun that was. And, boy, I just preached, and then he'd rattle it off. Trouble is, he'd rattle off a lot more than I was saying. I was wondering if he was just enjoying embellishing my moment. But anyway, we were preaching. I said, and you can have a life everlasting, and God will write your name in heaven. And God will write it down in indelible ink. And he said to me, I mean, what? And I said, indelible ink. He said, I got to think about that for a minute. Amen. So life is a wonderful thing when you know Jesus is your Savior. All the troubles, all the sorrows, everything come. Hey, thank God for heaven. Amen. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 18, verse 16, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of the many waters. What a graphic picture we have of man's utter helplessness. There's nothing worse than feeling you're drowning. Terrible, terrible, terrible feeling. No help. No, nothing. You know, what do they say? A drowning man will reach for a straw. You know, they'll do anything they can. Sinking midst the swirling water, battering and brazing against the buffering waves, with no firm standing ground, is there no help? Yes, if there comes to the cry, as Peter did when he was sinking in the abyss of the water, he cried, Lord, save me. And there came from without and from above, he sent from above and took me out, and he drew me out. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught me, and he was saved from death. Ladies and gentlemen, when you cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, he immediately does it. When a person wants, realizes he's lost and he needs a Savior, God immediately will save you. There's no waiting. Amen. As many as 100,000 people were perished in Sumatra, which was closer to the epicenter of the catastrophic quake and tsunami. In January 2nd, 2005, in Banda Aceh in Indonesia, rain and flash floods were worsening. The misery of the South Asia region ripped apart by the tsunami. The death toll is likely to be 150,000. The flooding increased the threat of deadly disease. And on and on. Over to Sri Lanka on January the 26th. the Twister Limbs. I think that was 2008. Twister Limbs of the frail girl in a blue dress were caught on a garden fence by the sea. She may have already been dead, but no one stopped the check because they were such a tragedy. And the things kept coming. You know, life can get really rough, and sometimes we just, you know. That's like this storm the other day. Who would ever imagine the storm would come through like that? Just gone. I mean, it happened. It was over. I walked in the first first superfood or what do they call it? I walked in there. When I came out, there's leaves all over my truck. And I'm wondering, what in the world is this? Came home and there's branches, leaves in my deal. And Casey said, "Hey, preacher," he said, "you know the sign at the church got blew down." I said, "No." So I jumped in my car and came down there, and sure enough, and I thought, "Oh, boy, I better look at the roof." And I went around to the back roof on building number two, and it's lifted up, and there's, fiberglass insulation sticking out the top, and there's on the side of the building, they're pulled away like that, quick. We met in, a couple weeks ago with that hail, you know. Mercy. Just crazy things going on. Amen. So we see so many things going on, but thank God we do not have to fear our salvation. Somebody says, "Well, the worst thing you do is die." Brother, I'll tell you what, I don't know if that's the worst thing or not. I think it's a good thing. Absent from this body, present Lord, no more troubles, no more sorrows, no more taxes, no more politics, but amen. The Christian is not afraid of anything. Number two, we have security. John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So what a wonderful thing. What a glorious security we have in Graf's hand. It's nice to have people that you can trust and have security in. You know, our dads, remember your dad, how that he, for some of you, your dad was always there. He's always that rock. He's always that sturdy man that was there. And when things were going bad, you could say, "Dad." How many remember those days? Boy, I do. And boy, I'll tell you what, every once in a while, I'd sure like to call that 989. I can't even remember it now. I know our first phone number is 542. That was it. 7071. Amen. But that's security. I remember the day my daddy passed away. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I guess you're the only one now." I mean, that may sound silly to you, but it's always nice to call up Dad, and he always knew what to say. Always had the right words. Sometimes he didn't tell you too much. Kind of made you guess. "Well, what do you think you ought to do? Come on, give me the stuff. I want it over with." Amen. I think the third thing is Christian has no fear in having no friendship. My, the friendship. Look around here. Look at the friendship we have with each other. Friends, pals, buddies, amen. The friendship that we have. As a pledge of love and a hand is held to a vice-like grip, "I and the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand. Becoming my Savior, I am in a position to learn and to know him as my friend." There's no greater friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends we'll have, and friends they'll be, and friends will disappoint us, and friends will betray us, but there's one friend that sticketh closer than a brother, amen. I think the Christian has no fear in coincidence. The little one is full of fear and trembling. And you say, "Give me your hands." That means goodbye to fear. I remember I was getting too big to hold my mother's hand, I thought. And we were crossing this busy street. I grew up on a farm, so we didn't cross busy streets. We had a road in front of us, and hardly anybody ever went down. And we went into Midland, and I remember going from the hobby store over to J.C. Penney. From J.C. Penney, went down the hill, and that's where Jackrabbit Elevator was. And my dad was down there, and my mom and I had rolled the truck in with him, and she took me to the hobby store. And she said, "Give me your hand." I said, "No, Mom, I don't." "No," she said, "I want you to help me." My mom was always very intelligent about taking care of a little boy, amen. I think the Christian had no fear of assistance. The hand is offered to assist. "I will help thee." Thank God for that. I don't know about you, but this summer's been crazy, 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 crazy. It's been nuts. A lot of things going on, a lot of things you don't know exactly what to do it, how to prepare for it, how to get things going, but we always know we have a God who is there willing to give us assistance. And amazing how that you pray and all of a sudden someone comes by or someone calls or someone says, "Hey, can I help you?" It's amazing. That's God. That's God. You ought to thank God for that. Amen. I think the Christian has no fear of the loss of strength. In Genesis chapter 49:24, "But his bow abode in strength, and the arm of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd the stone of Israel." With his firm grasp, there comes an imparting of strength. Sometimes you just don't have the strength to finish. Don't have the time to get it done. You don't know which way to turn. And it's always there when you need it. You can go to him and say, "Dear God, I can't take this anymore." Or, "Dear God, I don't know which way to turn anymore." Or, "Dear God, would you please fix this for me? I there's three things you can do. Number one, there's a lot of things I can do. A lot of things I can figure out. Secondly, there's things that I can't figure out, but I know some guys that can. And then third, there's some things that I can't do and other people can't do, but I know one who can. And his name is God. He may not do it exactly as fast as we want it done, but God is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. And we in our lives, we go through some pretty difficult times in life. How about finding God's will for our life and know exactly what we're supposed to do? I don't know about you, but in a life that we have today, there's no room to make a mistake. And definitely no room to make a mistake in knowing God's will for your life. And God says we're to know his will, and if he tells us we're not supposed to know his will, he certainly will enable us to know his will. That's just not some far-flung, up in the sky, in the stars idea about knowing God's will for your life. That's an amazing thing that we know that this is what God wants to do. We know. This is what God wants to do. This is where God wants us to be. Sometimes, in the time that, we kind of wonder and we kind of drift and we're saying, "Boy, I don't know. I hope this is the way God wants it." And the idea is, and if you take it from an old guy, I think the idea is this, that, "Lord, you know I want to do your perfect will. And, Lord, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste other people's time. Lord, you show me directly. Would you please help me?" There are some times, like again, he put out the fleece. And he put out the fleece. Some people say, "Well, if you just feel peace." Well, there's some times that I have not felt peace about doing the will of God. I mean, to know exactly if that is the will of God. Because I knew that I was going to go in some battles. I knew I was going to go in some heartaches. I knew I was going to go into financial disarray because I happened to do something. But I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And sometimes I don't have peace to do it. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Sometimes you just don't have peace about it. But God will give you the peace that passes all understanding and say, he'll help you with it. He'll show you. I believe with all my heart, if you stay in this Word of God and you keep praying and begging God and say, "Lord, exactly, I remember coming here. It was a pretty difficult decision to come to Great Falls, Montana 34 years ago. It was very difficult. Because I'd went to a church in South Dakota. And it was a battleground. I mean, it was a battleground. I mean to tell you. The average pastor's stay was a year and a half there. Year and a half. And boy, there are some people out to get you. And you couldn't make a, you couldn't hardly make a move without them squalling and bawling about something. And for 5 years, I preached on love, and I preached on how that, you know, that people ought to forgive one another. I had a family sit up here in front, had a family sit in the back, and when the service was over, this family stand up, that family there, and that family, if they didn't move out, this family stayed there until those people moved out. Well, that's a blessing, amen. Well, that's a great church to pastor, huh? I'd watch them, and I didn't know it. You know, when you first come into a church, you don't know all this stuff, you know, until somebody says, hey, preacher, do you know about so-and-so? I said, no, I don't. He said, well, they're the Baptists of the North, and these are the Baptists of the South. And the Baptists of the North will not move out of the church when you're greeting people until, you know, till when they go, then the South Baptists will leave, you know. What a mess. And I preached and preached and preached and preached on the love of God and preached on forgiveness, and I preached and preached 5 years. Finally, God did some amazing stuff, killed some people and moved some people, and all of a sudden, at that five-year mark, the church just started to blossom. Man, the church is full, and people were coming forward every service, and the aisles were full, and it was an amazing thing, you know. And, boy, and then when I hear about someone wanting to come here that have 22 people, they can't afford a pastor, they don't even have a building, they don't even have their own Lord's Supper. Those Lord's Supper, those right there came from the church of Minneapolis. Those Lord's Supper deals, they didn't have them. They're just, I mean, they had a constitution, but whew, boy, oh boy, when I first came here, I said, folks, I said, I'll be honest, I said, I don't know if you're going to call me to be a pastor, but I said, there's some mistakes in this Constitution that needs to be taken care of. There are some federal things about dissolution statements and things like that that need to be taken care of. In other words, when you dissolve, if this church ever dissolved, you cannot say, well, we'll give you some and give Scott some and give, you know, Bree some. You can't do that. You got to, when you dissolve the church, it has to go to another nonprofit organization. I know a church up in Weed. Given $1,000 up the church in Browning. And when that guy left, he sold the property and took the money with him. Well, I'll tell you what, that's bad. He can go to jail for that. He can go to federal jail for that. You can't do that. So this property is not owned by us. It's owned by God, and it has to, it's, we give our, in fact, most of us take our tax deferments that we can. And so, therefore, it is not no longer our personal. It's the incorporation. That's why if somebody came and sued Heritage Baptist Church, they couldn't sue the deacons or the trustees of our church. They sue the incorporation. And therefore, you and I aren't going to get sued. Aren't you glad about that? And that's one of the things that I had made sure to put in there. Our church wasn't even incorporated. And I went down the state of Montana and got that all taken care of. But anyway. I wasn't really ready to come and birth a church, and because the church in South Dakota was just, it was going like that. It was good. It was really good. And finally, after 5 years, we had two more years we stayed there. But, you know, knowing God's will for your life, but God just intrigued me in the Word of God. And finally, after much prayer and fasting, the Word of God came to me, and it said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And I thought, boy, that's it right there. There's the scripture right there. So when I'm in Montana, and everything's going south, and everything's going having trouble, and all the problems, I can go there and say, now, wait a minute, God, you told me right here that I'm supposed to go to Montana. See, it's always good to make sure you got a place and say, I always say get a book, chapter, and verse. And when the problems come, you can fold that white flag and say, Dear God, this is where you told me. Now, I know you wouldn't lie to me. And this is where you told me to do, and I'm doing it. I did it in faith to be here for you. And I'll be honest, I'm sure glad that God directed me here. been a wonderful 34 years, and we thank God for it. I think even today those people get saved. Thrilled my heart. See, my wife and I took them out for dinner today, and they laughed and giggled. I guess I got them sick or something. They said they were coming back, but anyway, they were just thrilled. It says, Chris says, you know, he says, once I got saved, he said, I started reading my Bible every day. And his wife says, boy, we got saved. I got a job. He's got a job offer. Says, we've never, this is the most wonderful thing ever happened in my life. And because of that, they invited Bobby this morning and her family. And Bobby and the two children got saved. What's his name? Huh? Dominic and the Trinity got saved this morning too and baptized. Amen. So that all works together. Amen. So God helps us in those things. And when you get saved, God wants you to make sure that you're in His perfect will for your life. You're the safest place in the world when you're in God's will. You say, oh man, go to Afghanistan. No. Mike George, whatever his name is, Fred. he's in God's perfect will for his life, and that's the best place for him. And some of us, we don't understand that. You're immortal until your job is through. And so, When you're doing God's will for your life, make sure I challenge you as a Christian. You ought to know from God's will for your life. I think a lot of things in life people don't think is important. I think that when you're about to buy something, you ought to make sure that it's God's will for your life to have something like that. And I challenge you to do that and to say, well, you know, just because everybody else has got one doesn't mean that I need one. And just because it's the newest and the greatest doesn't mean I need the newest and greatest. I should make sure, Lord, is this exactly what you want me to do? Should I have this? Do I need this? I know I want it. Go on your computer and put it on the wish list. Do they call a wish list? Is that what they call a wish list? I was in a Word. It's a Bible study deal, and it says, put it on your wish list. And I thought, no, I ain't going to put it on my wish list. I put it on my wish list. Before I know it, I'll be buying that stupid thing. But anyway, it'd be best if you had it in a wish list instead of getting something and then you don't know what to do with it. Amen. All right. And then I think the seventh of the Christian has no fear of submission. This is to be willing to be about anywhere and to be used anyway. And anyhow, and that is not so difficult as it sounds, and what matters where we go and what we have to do if only His hand leads us. Lord, thy will be done. Lord, whatever you want me to do. That is so huge to us in our Christian life. Submission to God's will. Lord, if that's what you... somebody says, live in Montana. I'll live in Montana the rest of my life. Well, what if God wants you here? Why would you want to go someplace that's not in God's will for your life? That's incredible. I want to be in God's will. I want to be submissive to the Lord. Listen, you ladies, the happiest day of your life when you're submissive to your husband. You know what happens when you're not. And you can push his button so many times and he'll finally say, go on, do whatever you want. Yeah, he will. Happy day of your life, teenagers. Happy day of your life, children. Be submission to your parents. Happy day of your life, be submission to your pastor. It's an amazing thing. The Bible talks about how that we ought to honor those that rule over us. It's not that we want rule over us. It's just that we think that it's best for your life. And there's a lot of times in your life that you have questions. It'd be a good idea to go see the man of God and say, what do you think about this? I don't want to make decisions for you, but I'd sure like to have a little bit of veto power with you and say, you know, I don't know about that. Let me pray about it. Let's pray about it. Kind of quiet in here, amen. Christian, have no fear of submission. Don't have fear of submission to those who are in authority. Don't ever have a problem with that. There's a situation that happened a while back. And a person told me I needed to do something, I did it. Somebody else said, why'd you do that? And I said, because he told me to. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. That's what he said. I'll take care of it. And you know what? I was off the hook. If I wouldn't have done and not been submissive to do something I was told to do, I would have been crawling on the carpet. And so it's best to be in submissive. How many of you guys are bosses? You're head of a shop or something. Okay? Isn't it nice when people do what you tell them to do? You've thought it all out. Now, are you against someone coming up to you and say, hey, Jason, I don't know if that's really going to work that way. Are you against that? Absolutely not. No, we're not against that. Hey, no, I don't think we ought to do that. You know? But there may be a time that when that person said it, they said, well, this is the reason we do it. Or this is the reason why it got done. And they said, oh, I never thought of it that way. And that's just being submissive. I think a man ought to not be blind submissive, but I think he better be close to it. Just say, yes, sir. That's why I love pastoring a church close to the Air Force Base. You guys understood it. You just say, yes, sir. You know, you about face and go do the thing and come back. And if somebody gets in trouble, hey, you did what you were supposed to do, and they can't mark you down for doing it wrong. Because you were told that. Did you do what the TO said? Yes, sir. Well, I told a fellow the other day, he's having some problems at work. I told him, I said, you document, time, date, sign it. Did you know somebody calls you on the phone and tells you something and says that they'll give you something for such and such, and you write that down, and you write down how much they said they do, and you date it and time it, that'll stand up in court. So you guys out on base doing some things, and you're kind of wondering about it, document. Keep you out of a lot of trouble. All right. Well, I hope you. What did I teach you tonight? Anybody know? I was wondering, you know, like, hey, there's a pastor I know that he has people shoot him email. Not email, but is it called blogs or whatever? Well, you know, and say, hey, what do you think about this? So I'm asking you to blog me. What? How can we help you? What did I teach you today? Number one, did I teach you about your fear of salvation? You know, I fear that. It's taken care of. Don't worry about it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Yes, ma'am. Trust the Lord. Just trust Him. Submit to Him. Just say, Lord, you know God's will for your life. How do you find it? Simple. Ask Him. The Bible says in James, hey, if any man, you know, God is not upset with you when you ask for wisdom. All you need wisdom. I see all these little kids you're hanging around with all the time. You need wisdom. Holy cow, these kids are going to get teenagers. These kids are going to be, you know, they're going to fly the coop. These kids are going to go to school. There's things going on in your life that, you know, you've never been down that trail before. Now, you can ask people, but all kids are not the same. Have you found that out? Are all your three boys the same? No, they're not. Boy, I'll tell you, my three boys, they're... One was in the north, one was in the south, and one, I don't know where the other one was. I think he was circling, amen. He said, east is in the west, amen. So we in life, we really need our, we need our compass straight, and we need to make sure that there's some things in our hearts. Wouldn't it be terrible? Listen to me. I'll close this with this. Years ago, there was a flock of geese flying. They were flying from Canada down to Mexico. And there was another flock of geese kind of close to them. It was flying over to it's the one that goes to North Dakota and goes down towards Florida. Anyway, they're different flyways. And one day they were flying over, and they got lost in a storm. And so the goose and the gander, they mate for life. And they landed in a cornfield. And one of them, I guess, got hurt or something, and they had to wait for it to heal up. And wasn't long, and here came a flock of geese coming in, and they were headed for North Dakota down in the Florida, Michigan, Florida area. And when they took off, that couple took off and flew with them. What do you think that did for their whole DNA? changed the whole thing. Instead of going down to Mexico, they went down to Florida area. And all of a sudden, they had their, they flew back in the spring, and they followed that, they call them gaggles, what do they call them, the flight, flew back. And then all of a sudden, they began to mate. And they had, their mates came from the Florida, that I don't think that's called North, I think it's a North Central Flyway. And same way in our Christian life, if God wants you a certain place and you move to another place and your boys get old enough, your daughters get old enough, guess who they're going to marry? The people close to them, amen? And so you want to make sure that you're in God's perfect will for your life. There's a lot of things that go into the will of God for your life, and that's just not getting a better job and getting more money. There's a lot more to it. And I know a family right now down in New Mexico. And 5 years ago, they called me and said, "Preacher, we've still not found a church like Heritage Baptist Church." I'd say, "Where are you going?" "Well, we go here, we go there, but we still haven't found a church." Well, pray God lead you perfectly. Amen. You say, "I know who you're talking about." No, you don't. I had this sermon preached before you even knew what you were going to do. Amen. So don't judge me. Don't think that you, don't get so proud you think I was preaching a sermon at you. Think of that. Okay. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. To imagine. For instance, like Clyde. Clyde, mom's daddy came to Great Falls and had a baby here. There he is. All of a sudden he goes over to Grayling, Michigan. Now he's back in Great Falls, Montana. Isn't that amazing? And then you met this girl. I mean, wow. And now look what you got. You got a whole bunch of kids. Wow. Isn't that amazing? How many have children that are born in Montana? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. All right, where'd you grow up? Yeah. Alaska? Kansas?
From here.
Yeah, I knew you want, you were just bragging that. Mississippi? California?
All over.
Huh?
All over.
Yeah, but you got a Montana baby. And you got a Michigan baby too, right? I mean Minnesota baby. Michigan, Minnesota, same thing. But anyway. But you know, it just shows you that wow, what a And you know what? These kids that are born in Montana, my boys so ticked off they were born in Minnesota. "Dad, when did you have us in Montana?" I said, "If I'd known, I'd got born in Montana." Amen. So anyway. All right. Let's stand just for a second. I'll give the deacons time to come up for the Lord's Supper. I want to tell you, I love you. My living experience right now is a little different than it used to be, but my telephone still works, and we can always find time to talk and always find time to counsel with you. Please feel free of that. I'm not here just to sit around. I'm here. I want to help you. I want to be encouragement to you. And there's a lot of things going on in this life. I always tried real hard to have a group of people who are my counselors. Some of my counselors told me some things. Dr. Jack Hiles told me to come to Hammond, Indiana. I told him I can't do it. I said, "No, I can't do it, Brother Hiles." I said, "This is what's going on right here. I don't feel that God wants me, but I sure appreciate your encouragement." Dr. Joe Mark told me I need to come to Great Falls, Montana. And I said, "I'm not coming to Great Falls, Montana. This church has just got started in South Dakota. I don't want to leave it." He said, "But Brother Shear," he said, "I've never told a preacher this, but," he said, I think you ought to really consider it." And so, so use those men of God. Some of them, they see things that we don't see and can really help you in a great way. All right. Okay. I was waiting.